It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Time for a Brock party. Good evening, everybody. January 1st, 2022. WWE Day 1 is in the books. We have a new WWE champion in Brock Lesnar. Now, for those that didn't tune into the pay-per-view, didn't tune into any news, has no idea what's going on with Roman Reigns, I stress, new WWE champion, not WWE Universal champion. We'll talk about the pay-per-view. We'll obviously talk about Roman Reigns as well. First day of 2022. First pay-per-view of 2022. First title change of 2022. My overall thoughts of this pay-per-view right off the bat, this felt like it was really a one-match pay-per-view. And don't get me wrong, the Usos versus the New Day, they deliver. They always deliver. Tell me the last time that the Usos and the New Day had a Shangata match. It's just when it's over and over and over again, you know, you kind of know what to expect. Although, I don't think any of us out there expected to see a 3D finisher. But outside of that match, I mean, this night was mainly the heavyweight championship. Not saying the other matches weren't bad. In fact, I don't think any match really stunk. Hell, Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss, I thought, put on an okay match, better than I expected. The only problem with Drew McIntyre is what you and I have talked about ever since Jeff Hardy left. Ever since Jeff Hardy left, Drew McIntyre just feels like he is stuck in the mud. You already know that was the plans for Drew and Jeff to be a little bit of a team. They have no backup plan. We talked last week about the idea of maybe teaming up Drew McIntyre with Ricochet. It's not happening. And by the way, best wishes go out to Ridge Holland. In case you are not aware, Ridge Holland tonight suffered a broken nose at the hands of Ricochet. You know, mistake. We'll talk about it. But I just wanted to give you my overall thoughts. Beth Phoenix making her return. Look, ever since the first night that Miz and Edge confronted each other on Raw, we knew Beth Phoenix was going to return. We knew Maryse was going to return. We knew that this will likely end up with a mixed tag match. For me, the highlight, other than the Brood entrance, was this. It got a little awkward. That's not the Chris pose, for those that know what I'm talking about. Hey, how are you doing? How's everything going? What'd you feel your lunch? What'd you feel your food? It got a little awkward. She's like, God damn it, play my music. God damn it, she was so angry, so irate, so pissed off at The Miz and Maryse that she had to stay on the rampway and wait about 20 to 25 seconds until they hit her music. Then she walked down the rampway. Yeah, Mike, I could joke a little bit. It's all in good fun. But Beth makes her appearance. And Maryse runs off, so we'll see where that goes. But look, let's talk about what's most important right now. And let's also keep this in perspective. You know, we talked about this a week ago. If you remember, it was last Sunday that we found out about Seth Rollins getting COVID. It was last Sunday when we talked about wrestlers being pulled off the WWE house shows as a precaution. It was last Sunday that we said, do not immediately assume that everybody who was pulled off the shows got COVID. And last night, when we did predictions, the last thing that I said to all of you out there is, look, you know, somebody could get tested positive for COVID today. Now, we had no idea it was going to end up being Roman Reigns, of all people. But until the show goes on, you know, nothing is out of the question. Omicron is so highly contagious. We got millions and millions of people positive right now. Not everybody is going to a doctor and being officially counted as a positive test result. Roman Reigns earlier today went and got tested as precaution. Now, contrary to people online, and I educated you all about OSHA, the OSHA COVID guidelines. That's what WWE has followed. Obviously, nobody cares about facts for the most part. Spelled it out. What WWE is following. And right away, what did you have 2 weeks ago? What'd you have? Oh, a week ago. Oh, how could they stop COVID testing? Their number one wrestler is immunocompromised. How could you stop testing? The OSHA guidelines were that if you're symptomatic, you get tested. If you are fully vaccinated, you don't have to be tested. WWE still tested all of the wrestlers that were supposed to be on this pay-per-view for precaution. There is no sloppy shop. But obviously, drama wins. I want to give you a good example of it right now. And please, when I show you this tweet, please do not get upset at the author. I want to prove a point. First, let me show you Roman Reigns, his tweet. Roman Reigns wrote today, and I quote, "I yearn to perform tonight at WWE Day One to defend my Universal Championship. However, unfortunately, earlier today, I tested positive for COVID-19. Due to the proper protocols, I am unable to compete as originally scheduled. I look forward to returning to action as soon as possible." Now, the good news about this, he is focused more on protocols here than anything else. You know, the protocols are very important. That's why it is so important to understand what the protocols are. Due to the protocols, he is unable to compete. You have no idea if he had any symptoms at all. He may have had no symptoms whatsoever. There are so many people that are getting tested positive for Omicron, have no idea, especially when you're fully vaccinated. So the good news is Roman Reigns could be in the same position as Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins tested positive a week ago. Because he is fully vaccinated, Seth Rollins, within 2 days, showed no symptoms whatsoever. And if you follow the OSHA and the new COVID guidelines, 5 days is the period. If you're a Raw wrestler and you get tested positive the next day, you could literally perform on the next Raw if you just add up the math, provided everything goes well. So the most important thing about Roman Reigns right now is that he is okay. He is okay. Let's hope that he is going through similar to what Seth Rollins is going through. Obviously, Roman Reigns did not perform tonight. So as a result, the fatal four-way for the WWE Championship now turned into a fatal five-way. Brock Lesnar added to the match. Obviously, it puts everything in disarray. You know, we talked about it with Big E. Now, we had no idea Brock Lesnar was going to be in the match, but if Big E were to lose the WWE Championship at this early in his title reign, would it be considered a disappointment? I think, with the exception of Brock Lesnar, if Big E would have lost the title to any of the other three men tonight, I think his reign would have been looked at as a disappointment. But, it's almost like what they did to Big E tonight is what they did to Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair prepared for Sasha Banks. Bianca Belair was not prepared for Becky Lynch. Yes, Bianca lost in only a few seconds, but Big E didn't prepare to have Brock Lesnar in this match. So that is the asterisk. That is what WWE will focus on Monday's Raw. I keep thinking it's Sunday night. On Monday's Raw, I almost said tomorrow. On Monday's Raw, they will focus on that for the next few weeks. Now, the big question is, what's going to happen with Roman Reigns in his championship? Who does he feud with? They just took out Drew McIntyre in a storyline tonight. Who does he feud with? Who? My immediate thoughts, Brock Lesnar will not have that belt for a long time. I think Brock Lesnar could lose the belt sooner than later. And then the storyline with him and Roman Reigns may pick up where it was left off. Now, I said earlier, I wanted to show you a tweet. Two, one from me and one from someone else. And I stress, I have nothing against the author of this tweet. He expressed an opinion. It's an opinion that is wrong. I do not criticize people for making an error in opinion, you know, not thinking about the facts first. But I want to show you what I always talk about when it comes to social media. People don't want facts anymore. Case in point, tonight, WWE is called tonight a premier live event. And everybody out there, they're not calling it pay-per-view anymore. They're calling it premier live event. Everybody getting triggered on that. And I go on social media and I provided links. And I said, look, everybody, when it comes to Peacock, they're calling it a premier live event because it is included in a subscription. Pay-per-view means you pay to view. Pay-per-views on Peacock are included. It's not a pay-per-view. So they started calling it a premier live event. Captain Obvious, right? Not a big deal. So what do I do tonight? I post for everybody out there. I'm like, look, everybody, when it comes to Peacock, these pay-per-views will be called premier live events because you're not paying extra to view it. I put up links to Infinity. I think that's the cable channel. And three other cable outlets. And I said, here, on cable channels, they are still called pay-per-views because you have to pay money to view it. $44.95. That is what day one cost on Infinity and other cable channels tonight. It is still called pay-per-view. Nobody gave a shit. Nobody cared. Everybody just figured to get triggered and to, they're calling it premier live events. That's what they want. They want reasons to call shit out. Now I'm going to show you the tweet. Pay attention to how many people like this tweet. Again, nothing against the author. This is one of many out there. WWE needs to stop doing house shows. They need to stop allowing talent to get close to the audience. And they need to start taking extra precautions again. It's mania season. Cut the bullshit. No one needs to be missing a pay-per-view pass today, period. Emotional, right? Oh, yeah. Look, 600 likes. That tweet was only up for about 15 minutes. Had already 600 likes. Now I'm going to show you mine. Here's facts. This is facts. Roman Reigns was taken off a house show as a precaution. We talked about that a week ago. The last time Roman Reigns performed was 14 days ago. He tested positive today. It had nothing to do with house shows. It had nothing to do with audiences. It had nothing to do with WWE protocol. Well, shout out to whoever did that run-in. I'll post it in a moment, but let me finish this. Cannot blame this on WWE protocol. Roman Reigns has not performed in 14 days. It had nothing to do with house shows. He didn't get COVID 14 days ago, and it just basically camped out and said, I'll come out on January 1st. Stop always making this shit about WWE and just wish Roman Reigns the best. That's the facts. Not even 36 people like that. That was up there for almost 90 minutes. See where I always go with this stuff? This is what we deal with in life, period. A lot of people out there don't want the facts. They ignore the facts. They want reasons to post emotional tweets like this so everybody could say, cut the bullshit, WWE. Take extra precautions. They should not be gone. That, what that person said is fine. It has nothing to do with Roman Reigns. But yet everybody flocks to that. This is what I deal with all the time. That's why I always bring it up. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. If anything that came out of the Roman Reigns being tested positive today, it's the opposite of what people are trying to say about WWE being careless with COVID testing. They are following OSHA guidelines. They went one step beyond and tested everybody who was supposed to perform. I'm not making stuff up here. So Roman Reigns right now is COVID positive. Again, we don't know if it's Omicron. We don't know if it's Delta. But a lot of the WWE personnel who have tested positive in the last 2 weeks have been Omicron. We've talked about that already. And Omicron takes 1 to 2 days to start showing symptoms. So if you follow that protocol, Roman Reigns had to have come into contact with someone over the last 2 to 3 days. He could have simply just went outside for a UPS delivery. There are too many people. We just had this conversation yesterday also. There are so many people out there that are getting Omicron. They're like, how did I get this? I mean, I hardly have gone out at all. I might have gone to the store, but I wore a mask and I wasn't around anybody. It's that contagious. The most important thing right now is that Roman Reigns is okay. Let him get better. I would not be surprised if he appears on SmackDown next Friday. There's also the long shot he could appear on SmackDown this Friday. I doubt it, because if you think about the 5-day minimum, he tested positive today. They say you go 1 to 2 days backwards, and then you go 1 to 2 days forwards, and then you test 2 days in a row, and if it's negative, then he's got to be masked unless, you know. So there is a possibility. He may just be on and cut a promo, just like what Seth Rollins did on Monday. But believe me, I criticize WWE. I also defend them. I criticize AEW. I also defend them. WWE is not running a sloppy shop. If you really start looking at how everything is done, stockholders are not questioning it. Only people that are questioning it always seem to have some type of grudge with WWE. This is an unfortunate situation. Anybody out there could get it. I could get it. You could get it. Roman could get it. Anybody could get it. The COVID is not based on whose skin color or financial status. It treats everybody the same. We just wish Roman Reigns a speedy recovery and hope to see him on TV. Long shot this Friday. More likely next Friday. Okay. So now I want to give a shout out to a certain someone with the run-in earlier today, Shout out to Stony Loney. Happy New Year to all of you and to me. Loves this show. Even though he doesn't super chat. Wait, that's from yesterday. I know I'm doing a little extra love. Shout out to AS7607. Much love. Much love. Chris Silver. What do I think of Liv Morgan's performance tonight? He thought it was good. Okay. Before we get into the match results, let me give you my immediate thoughts about Liv Morgan tonight. Go back and watch the match when I say what I'm saying now about Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan put on the performance of her career. She did an excellent job today. She is not there yet. When a lot of us wanted her to win the briefcase. It was more based on emotion and support than actual ability. It was the right decision for her not to get the briefcase. No reason to have any added attention to her right now or pressure. Liv Morgan is doing a fine job in her development. She is not there yet. If you go back and you watch this match tonight, especially for the first half of it, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. Becky Lynch was the ring general in the match. She was the one setting up herself for Liv to have offense. Becky walks to the corner, goes to the middle rope, so Liv could hit a move on her. Becky goes to the middle rope, has a back facing Liv, so Liv could drop kick her. Becky Lynch throws Liv into the corner and runs into the corner so Liv could move out of the way. Becky could move out of the way so Liv... No, Liv moves out of the way so Becky could run into the turnbuckle. Becky set up so much offense today for Liv to follow. Becky Lynch is a ring general. Becky Lynch is at that point where she can dictate the match, tell the story, guide her opponent through. As much as you may not like other people that wrestle, one thing that they do a great job at it is they dictate. They are the ring general. They lead the match. Let me lead, you follow. As Liv gets more experience and more time and more matches under her belt, she will start being able to do that. She is not there yet. Now, understand something. When Becky Lynch sets up moves, Liv's got to deliver. And more times than not tonight, Liv delivered and delivered well. There was a couple of moves that were kind of more of the visual than actual, you know, the what it was intended. I'll give you an example. Becky Lynch is sitting on the middle rope and Liv Morgan was going to powerbomb her. Instead of just running into the corner, picking up Becky and powerbombing her, she decides she's got to jump off the middle rope on the side, jump backwards, and then powerbomb her. It's all about the visual. It looked good. But telling a story, you know, just powerbombing her would have made more sense. Liv Morgan did a great job tonight. Liv Morgan is earning her stripes. Liv Morgan, in losing tonight, definitely won because her value, her stock has gone up a little bit. She is not there yet. Maybe before 2022 is over, maybe I feel otherwise, Liv Morgan will be a women's champion. I don't want her to be a women's champion simply because we support her, simply because she hasn't gotten the opportunity yet, simply because she's working her ass off. That's all fine and dandy. But you got to remember something. The champion usually is the ring general in the match. You cannot have Liv Morgan be the women's champion, and then when she defends the title against others, she's got to depend on others to lead her through the match. You can't do that. You cannot do that. Champions are the ones that guide, not the challengers, unless it's a very rare circumstance. That's my thoughts on Liv Morgan today. I think I'm very fair with what I said. So she had a decent match today. So now let's get into the card. Oh, by the way, maybe I was taking a pee during the pay-per-view. Maybe I came in here to set it up. Did WWE acknowledge during the pay-per-view tonight that Johnny Knoxville claims that he is going to be in the Royal Rumble? For those that are on audio only, Johnny Knoxville went on social media today and he writes, and I quote, "Happy New Year. Happy New Year's Day and love to everyone. I have a big announcement that I've been dying to get off my chest. I spent a lot of times over the holiday thinking about how I wanted to start off my 2022, and I decided I want to do it by kicking ass and taking names. And the best way to do that, that I feel, is making a run for the Rumble. That's right, WWE's Royal Rumble. Training starts today. Not that I will need a lot of it, because I have seen the WWE current roster, and it's laughable to think anyone could throw me over the top rope. Laughable. I will be channeling my wrestling heroes like The Rock, Abdullah the Butcher, and the great Gorilla Monsoon. The way I'm looking at it, I am giving myself a 100% chance of winning. What chance do you think I have? Johnny Knoxville. Okay, AS7607 said yes, they did acknowledge the video. Okay, good. So it was good timing for me. I did not feel like I wanted to see that during day one today. But Johnny Knoxville apparently will be an entrant in the WWE Royal Rumble. Hey, Drew Carey was in the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? Like, as long as he doesn't eliminate somebody that we want to see possibly win it, I'm fine with it. You know, let him eliminate Madcap Moss or Corbin or somebody like that. So, yeah, Kane. Oh, yeah, I get it. The mayor of Knox County eliminates Johnny Knoxville. I get it. Okay. Touche, touche. By the way, if you all didn't check it out yesterday, last night we had a fun New Year's Eve live chat party. I went off keto yesterday. Biggest mistake I did. I don't think the pizza was a big deal. It was the cannolis. I got no sleep last night. I drank about 2 liters of water overnight. I feel like crap today. I got a headache still. So I think I'm either going to go right back on keto or I'm going to start doing paleo. So anyway, let's get into the pay-per-view, shall we? All right. First match on the card. Cesaro and Ricochet versus Sheamus, which was pretty much a handicap match. Ridge Holland, unfortunately, suffered a broken nose during this match. There was a point early on in the match where Ricochet was in the ring, and Cesaro was going to help Ricochet do almost like a somersault. And we saw Riddle do it with Randy Orton in a little bit different way earlier. You know, for the boost, Ricochet pushes off from Cesaro, flips over. If you watched Rampage yesterday, you saw Penelope Ford, you know, basically do a moonsault and land literally in Ty Conti's face. Ty Conti is very lucky she didn't have a broken face from that. It happens. Accidents happen. Soon as the move happened, Ridge Holland went right out of the ring, brought right to the back, as you could see, broken nose. So this was pretty much a handicap match. This was the kickoff show. And, you know, look, for an impromptu handicap match, I thought they did a decent job. Sheamus continues the show. Sheamus had a pretty damn good 2021. Maybe not gold, you know, for the majority of the year, if any, you know, to back it up. But Sheamus had a great 2021. Continues to show that he performs at a top level. And sure enough, Sheamus laid out Ricochet on the outside with white noise and then hits the bro kick on Cesaro, gets the win. So technically, it was a handicap match. I think Sheamus was trying to signal Ridge Holland to come back out after the match was over, but obviously this was a pretty big deal. They had to attend to him, and Ridge Holland obviously will be out for a little time. I tell you, when you think about it, you know, Sheamus, broken nose, had to wear the mask. Do they do a stupid storyline where Sheamus's face gets smashed again and they both have matching face masks on? I don't know. Gable Stevenson sitting ringside once again. They keep making mention of it. I think it's only a matter of time where Gable Stevenson will get involved in some capacity. Who knows? Maybe the Royal Rumble. Do they do similar? Who is that football player? The one on the Patriots? Who was the one that was sitting ringside and ended up, what was it, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? I think it was. Maybe Gable Stevenson during the Royal Rumble is sitting outside. Somebody baits him and he ends up getting into the Royal Rumble. So Gronk, that's right, Rob Gronkowski. So he was sitting ringside. WWE Day One from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. We don't have the attendance, but we do know that the COVID positivity rate is 10.9%. Crowd pretty hot early on. Usos retain the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, beating the New Day. Excellent match. You know when the Usos and the New Day compete with each other, you know that they're going to deliver it every time. I was actually doing a little research earlier about their matches. I kid you not, if you do a Google search, check out the Usos versus the New Day, they have not had as many matches as you think. You'll be surprised. Compared to Randy Orton versus Sheamus, which we used to joke about all the time, they actually have not had as many matches as you would think. But they have been feuding for the majority of the last 5 years in some capacity. This match was excellent. I think it was at least two times that the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome." Early on, Jey Uso with a little tribute to Roman Reigns with the Superman punch. We had a couple of pretty good moments. Trouble in Paradise blocked by Jey Uso. He hits the frog splash, but only for a two count. We had a double super kick to Kofi Kingston. We thought at that point the match was over, and then Xavier broke up the count. So that was the only match that I got wrong. But, you know, also at the main event, we had no idea Brock Lesnar was going to be in it. And to be honest with you, I did not put a prediction up for that. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I thought Brock Lesnar was going to win. I honestly didn't know what to think afterwards. If Brock Lesnar wasn't in that match, I honestly thought that Big E would have retained. But we had Xavier Woods and Jimmy Uso battling outside the ring. Xavier Woods greeted with a super kick. This allowed the Usos to double-team Kofi Kingston. And go figure, they did a 3D on Kofi for the win. That was interesting. I know a lot of people immediately think, do you think it's a possibility of the Dudleys returning? Hey, look, anything is possible. The problem is, who feuds with the Usos next? We talked about this yesterday. Who feuds with them next? If New Day would have won, as much as I don't want to see Moss and Corbin going up against them, at least you have some heel teams. Ricochet and Cesaro, I don't know how much traction that's going to get. So could 2022 be, will 2022 be a highlight where WWE brings in more legends? Because they actually did a poll. One of their social media accounts the other day said, which legend would you want to see return to the ring in 2022? They had the usual people on there, from Undertaker to Trish to others. And look, after seeing what Sting could still do in moderation and seeing even some wrestler take some moves here and there, you know, why can't we get some legends, you know, doing a little bit? It depends on who it is, and it depends on what's the scenario. Could the Dudley still do it? I guess. I don't know what to think about the 3D move, but it's interesting that they hit it. Oh, Brian, I am happy Christian went to AEW, because even though he's not doing that much in the ring right now, I think he would not have been utilized all that great in WWE. And WWE did not want Edge and Christian together as a team. I would have liked it. They probably would have been a great team to go on SmackDown right now to feud with the Usos. I think they could both do it at a high level, but that's obviously not in the cards. So next we get a little profile segment. WWE did profiles on all the participants in the main event match tonight. They did one for Big E, one for Seth. They did a few others as well. We had the Migos, that rap group Migos with Kayla Braxton. I'm glad they didn't get involved in any matches. Not saying that they couldn't have, but they are lifelong wrestling fans, and they are from the Atlanta area, so they were guests tonight. They did not perform. So they would come out later on with a tag team, which we will talk about in a little bit. Nobody wants to see Migos versus Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny did a fine job. Look, who knows? Could Bad Bunny make a surprise in the Royal Rumble? I don't know. Is it possible? Sure, it's possible. We'll see. I thought Bad Bunny did excellent. I don't know if he could top that. And I don't know if they would want to revisit that. Chris Silva says maybe the Viking Raiders could face the Usos. That's possible, but I don't know how many people really want to see that. I certainly don't. So now, next match on the card, we get Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss. Thank God. Thank God. Last night, almost everybody, just on principle, we picked Drew to win. But you had that scary thought with Corbin at ringside. Could Corbin distract Drew enough for Moss to get the win? I will tell you, Moss put on a really good performance tonight with Drew McIntyre. Sure, a lot of people complained online, you know, why is it taking this long for Drew to win? Stop overanalyzing it. You know, Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss put on a decent match today. But as we will get into in a minute, I'm very concerned about Drew McIntyre right now. Out of everybody on that roster, he is the one that we have been focused on, and tonight did not help at all. Moss comes out cracking jokes about Atlanta. Atlanta's the biggest city in Georgia, but he didn't know it was because of weight. Stupid. After his loss, Drew will have to change his name to Who McIntyre? Moron. Drew McIntyre has a decent match with Madcap Moss. One cool move, Madcap Moss was sitting on the middle rope. Drew McIntyre is upside down, almost like a headstand. He reaches up, flips Moss over, and he's back doing a headstand. But thank God, Moss blocked the first Claymore, but didn't block the second. Corbin didn't even try to interfere. He's just basically looking outside like Moss gets pinned. Shout out to James Gruesome. Thank you very much for the super sticker. Thank you very much, my friend. Happy New Year to you. So, look, Moss put on a decent performance. The character is terrible. I don't like this happy shit, Madcap stuff. It's kind of goofy. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we had, honestly, the worst segment that I've seen on WWE television since This Is Your Life. Remember that stuff with Alexa Bliss and Bayley? That was just awful. Where does this go from here? So, I don't know. I saw some people getting a little triggered by it. Did you see what Drew did after the match is over? Drew did similar to what Adam Cole does. When Adam Cole's in the ring, when he's doing his entrance and he's down like this and he goes, boom, you know, Adam Cole, baby. Drew McIntyre did something like that earlier. Trust me, somebody was doing it before Adam Cole. Maybe he didn't put the two fingers up, and Drew didn't do that. But Drew gets the win. He may have won the match, but he didn't win the war, because what ends up happening a few moments later, Drew McIntyre is in the back, and Drew McIntyre, he's being interviewed about his win. Moss and Corbin jump McIntyre, and they start beating him down with a chair, and they put his head inside the chair and gave him the Pillmanizer. So, put two and two together, it seems like Drew McIntyre has been written off TV for a little while. I don't know if he has any nagging injuries. Maybe he needs some time to rest and heal. I don't know. But I'm concerned about Drew McIntyre. I'm really concerned. Unless he wins the Royal Rumble and challenges Brock. He wins the Royal Rumble and challenges Roman. I don't know how. Look, I have always appreciated Drew McIntyre's run as champion. And I am one that absolutely enjoys Drew McIntyre. But again, ever since Jeff Hardy's exit, it almost seems like they don't know what the hell to do with this guy. And now they looks like they wrote him off TV for a little while. So when he returns, what does he do? I personally, look, the Royal Rumble's in 4 weeks. So maybe you write him off TV now and he reappears at the Royal Rumble. We'll see what happens. But Drew, off TV right now. So now we get Kevin Owens. And again, if you pay attention to Kevin Owens, he is doing something that we've talked about before that a lot of people don't catch on to. He, as a heel, is so detailed with little remarks that he says. You know, he goes a little over and above everyone else. You know, like when you talked about last week that he beat Edge at Madison Square Garden, but you don't have to look up that result. It's because if you were to check the result, he actually lost. Tonight, he cuts a promo and he says it's a tragedy. That first it was a three-way with him, Seth, and Big E, and then they added Bobby Lashley, and now they add Brock Lesnar. But he's going to take care of Bully Brock for what he did to his soulmate. Yes, he called Sami Zayn his soulmate. And him and Seth Rollins are going to be a cohesive unit. And I've said this for about 2 weeks now. I think I said it yesterday. I think in 2022, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens will be tag team champions. And I'm hoping we get Seth and Kevin Owens versus Orton and Riddle as your next big feud for Orton and Riddle on Raw. I hope that happens. I think it could very well happen. Would not be surprised if they started as early as this Monday. It's possible. But what I loved about Owens' promo is because Owens said it's a tragedy. It was supposed to be a three-way. Then it turned into a four-way, and now it's a five-way. Well, if you remember, the original match was supposed to be Seth Rollins versus Big E. Kevin Owens put himself into the match. So, no, it wasn't originally supposed to be a three-way. It was supposed to be one-on-one. So little things like that, you catch on with Kevin Owens' promos, little things like that, little detail. Very, very slick. So now we get the Raw Tag Team title match. Oh, why did that happen? Okay, that's not good. Let's pass it up. Why? Oh, I'm having some issues here. Why is that happening? That's odd. That's okay. I could fix it in 2 seconds. All right. Sorry for everyone. Little technical difficulty. Here we go. Very good. Very good. Little impromptu. Randy Orton and Riddle versus the Street Profits for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Migos comes out with Orton and Riddle. And they sit at ringside. I'm surprised they don't call them the three Migos. You know, three amigos. Anyway, this match felt like a Raw match. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a fun match. But it felt more like a Raw match than anything else. I think almost everybody online was hoping that Montez Ford goes for a frog splash and somehow Randy Orton turns it into an RKO. I guarantee there was a lot of you out there that are like, oh my God, could you imagine? Because we always remember Seth Rollins when he went to do the curb stomp and Orton turned it into an RKO at Mania. A lot, including me, I thought, wow, if they could pull that off, that might be the moment of 2022. They might have practiced it, and maybe it just didn't work out well. But we didn't get that. We got a little variation of it. Basically, what happens in this match, Montez Ford misses the frog splash, and then Randy Orton hits him with the RKO. It was a fun match. You know, just seeing Riddle's interaction with the Street Profits. The problem here is that everybody was a babyface. The crowd was more into Riddle and Orton then the Street Profits. But again, it was a fun match, but it felt like a match you would have seen on Raw. Didn't feel like there was much heat. Crowd was into it a little bit. And after the match was over, Migos is in the ring celebrating with both teams. So handshakes afterwards, everybody leaves on good terms. It was an okay match, but I honestly expected a little bit more. So, good match. RK-Bro retained, which was the right way to go. I personally think under no circumstances do you take the titles off of them right now. They're doing such a good job with those belts. No reason to take it off of them. Next match, The Miz versus Edge. Best way I could describe this match. I was reading a lot of criticism online for this match. That it felt like there was no heat, that the crowd wasn't really into it. I mean, the crowd was into it. But the thing with Miz, and I'm not saying this to support him or to criticize him, but we have watched The Miz wrestle for years and years and years. You know what kind of match you get with Miz. You know what kind of offense and defense you get with Miz. It should be no surprise in 2022. So, Edge having this match with Miz, it was going to feel more of like a mid-card match. I'm not saying either wrestler is a mid-carder, but it's a match that was lower on the card. I know some people out there were looking forward to this match, maybe second next to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. But this match basically was what you would expect in a match with The Miz. You have Maryse at ringside. You knew she was going to get involved. Edge comes out with his vintage Brood entrance, which is great. You know, a little reminiscing from yesteryear. I mean, the Brood entrance is arguably the greatest entrance of all time, maybe next to The Undertaker. I fucking loved the Brood entrance when they used to come out. So we had a little old school there. But, you know, the big question during this match is, what was Maryse going to do? And how is Beth Phoenix going to get involved, if at all? If anybody didn't notice, Edge had his personal referee, Jessica Carr, once again, referee in his match. That is his choice. He requests it, and that's a cool thing. She does a phenomenal job. They have some great chemistry because Jessica's there for much more than just delivering the three count. So this match was good. It wasn't outstanding. Maybe it felt like a Raw match with some extra time attached to it. Early on, Miz working on Edge's left knee. They start brawling outside the ring. Miz tries to go for the skull-crushing finale on the table. Edge blocks it and drops Miz face first on the table. Table does not break. That was designed. They were waiting for the table for the main event tonight. We get, later on in the match, a figure four by the Miz onto Edge. Edge reverses it. Miz breaks the move. Miz goes for a pin with his feet on the ropes. Jessica catches it, stops it. But sure enough, Miz gets the ref distracted and Maryse gets involved. First, she tries to put Miz's foot on the rope when Edge had the crossface on Miz. So the referee was forced to break the count. Later on in the match, they both hit each other with double boots, so they were both down. Maryse hits Edge with a cheap shot with the referee distracted. He hits the skull-crushing finale, and I honestly thought the match was over at this point. I mean, we talked about it yesterday that Edge could use that win more than The Miz, especially since Edge could be going for a championship soon. So Miz hits the skull-crushing finale, but only for a two count. And then Beth comes out. Now, obviously, somebody screwed up with the music because we were supposed to hear the music and then they turn around and they see Beth. What happens is Beth is on the rampway, and Miz is trying to get Maryse's attention. Maryse turns around, and Beth, again, on the rampway, waiting about 25 awkward seconds for her music to hit. Finally, her music hits. She goes down the rampway. Maryse gets out of Dodge. And with Beth Phoenix and Miz having a little bit of jawjacking, Edge is in the corner, set up for the spear. Miz turns around, gets speared. 1, 2, 3. Edge gets the win. So that's where they are with this right now. Could we see the mixed tag at the Royal Rumble? Very possible. Very possible. We had a backstage interview with Bobby Lashley and MVP. And then we get the match that we talked about quite a bit already. Liv Morgan losing her bid for the women's championship, the Raw Women's Championship. Becky Lynch beats her. Not much that I can add what I said earlier. Liv Morgan did a fine job in this match today. She did a spectacular job. She showed that she is really, really working her ass off to take it to the next level. If you remember about a year ago, we were talking about Liv Morgan and Mandy Rose in the same sentence, like trying to figure out which one do we think was actually up in their game. Because they were, all we kept hearing a year ago is that both of them were working their freaking asses off to try to take their offense and defense to the next level. And I think we could say with all honesty, even if you're not a fan of one or both of their work, Liv Morgan and Mandy Rose have definitely improved significantly in the last 12 months. And if they stay on that path, especially Liv, no reason why she can't be women's champion down the line. But this match was pretty much Becky Lynch setting up Liv so she could hit some offense. Becky goes in the corner. Liv follows with a move. Becky goes to the middle rope, back facing Liv. Liv gives her the dropkick. There was one funny point during the match. I don't know if you saw it. And Becky does this a lot now. But tonight it was a little bit extra funny. And I'm not trying to make fun of anybody who is blind, but after Becky only got a two count, midway through this match, Becky was getting frustrated. And Becky, Liv is behind her, and Becky is facing the other way. And Becky is like, it looked like somebody who was blind, like trying to find a wall to like grab onto. If you go back and you watch it, I mean, it was almost comical. But it was a good match. It was a good match. We had a lot more high spots than you thought. One spot that I kind of like was, Liv Morgan throws Becky Lynch into the ring steps. And then Liv trying to get her revenge on Becky for what Becky did to Liv's arm on the ring step. She puts Liv's arm, she puts Becky's arm on the ring step, and she stomps it 9 times. I swear to you, if you would have sneezed, ha-choo, and looked up right after you sneezed, Becky was back in the ring already. And, you know, she was selling the arm a little bit, but not much at all. And sure enough, what ends up happening, Becky climbs the top rope. As soon as she entered back in the ring, Liv drops her, puts an armbar submission, and some people are thinking that Becky may tap after what happened with her arm in the ring steps, but doesn't happen. Liv tries to hit the Oblivion on Becky. Becky stops it, nails Liv with the manhandle slam, pins her. Now, I'm assuming Becky was supposed to put her feet on the ropes because Becky, when it was a two, ref Aja with the two count, Becky, with her feet, are trying to grab the ropes. She was too far away. So Jimmy Smith even said, you know, this was a clean pin. I don't know if Becky was supposed to grab the ropes again. One thing about Ref Aja, and I know she's changed the name. I can't remember what her new name is now. But Ref Aja, she does great work. I love to work in NXT. Still remember what she did for Mercedes Martinez that night. She knew something was wrong right away. I don't know if it was just me tonight, but it felt like her two counts were a lot slower than what she normally does. I mean, she literally was, you know, like really slow. And I don't know if that was done to help Liv, but it seemed like her pin, you know, her counting was a lot slower than usual. But it was a great match. It was a great match. Liv Morgan did, I think it's her best match of her career. Even though she lost, I think she really showed everybody that she can hang. So she's just got to get more seasoning, more development. And when she could finally beat a ring general in a match where she could dictate, she will be women's champion. She will be women's champion. Absolutely. So now we get a backstage promo with Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins saying that everybody, you know, contrary to what Kevin Owens said earlier, it was not supposed to be a three-way. It was supposed to be one-on-one. So Seth Rollins reminding everyone that Kevin Owens, you know, another fib. But Seth Rollins says that the other four men have something all in common. They're not Seth freaking Rollins. Seth Rollins, you know, guaranteeing that he's going to win the championship. And look, you know, we've been talking about it for a while now, and I know I brought it up earlier. Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, that I think is going to be the next big tag team on WWE television. I think just their antics together is going to be so fun to see. They got to keep them as a tag team. So we had the five-way to close out the pay-per-view. And early on, Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins working together, taking out Bobby Lashley, taking out Big E, taking out Brock Lesnar. At one point, we thought they were going to put Bobby Lashley through a table. I don't know how you all felt about this match. I thought the match was a little too quick. I mean, there was a. The thing is, when you got five people in this match, if you watch Fatal Five Ways in the past, there's always somebody fresh to break up the two count. And sure, you know, Bobby Lashley, you know, gets put through a table. Brock Lesnar gets double teamed by Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. It was a fun, fun match. It just felt like it was about 5 to 10 minutes too soon. I don't know how you felt about it. It had a lot of great spots, absolutely. I mean, we had a point where Brock Lesnar, who we thought was laid out outside the ring, Brock Lesnar hits the ring. He hits the F5 onto Kevin Owens. He hits the F5 on Seth Rollins. He hits the F5 onto Big E, but then Bobby Lashley hits the ring. And I know, a lot of us have been wanting to see Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Guess what? You're probably going to get it now. Will it happen on Raw? Could they save it for Royal Rumble? Why not? I don't know. I mean, wasn't it that it's not an automatic rematch? I think Big E gets a rematch, obviously. But Brock Lesnar does not hit the F5 on Bobby Lashley. Instead, Bobby Lashley hits him with a spear, puts the Hurt Lock on Brock Lesnar. But sure enough, we get Big E back in the ring. And lo and behold, Brock Lesnar with the F5 on Big E gets the win. Brock Lesnar is your new WWE champion. Match was a lot of fun. I mean, like I said earlier, Usos versus New Day always deliver. No question, always deliver. But I don't want to go to the extent that if you've seen one match between them two, you've seen them all, because they're always trying to reinvent. I will say this. If people out there are going to get so upset at Zelina Vega with her international accent as the queen, how come people are not as upset with Kofi and Xavier doing the same thing? I love both of them. Hall of Famers, great team, funny, comical. I thought they were going to win the tag titles tonight. That was the match I got wrong. Although I did say yesterday that I thought the Usos should retain, but I thought we were going to have at least, remember I said yesterday we need at least one title change? We did get one title change, just wasn't the one that I thought. But them doing his international, I mean, I kept thinking about Zelina Vega. I'm like, how come people are so angry at Zelina, but not at this? But the Fatal 5-Way was a fun match. I just don't know why it felt rushed. Chat room, did you feel the match was rushed? I mean, look, Brock Lesnar with his offense, he hits one, two moves, match over. I mean, that's usually what ends up happening. But when you got five people in that match, I personally think it was a little rushed. You give it five more minutes. I will say this. Seth Rollins, man, a lot of props to Seth Rollins. You know, and this should give hope to a lot of people out there about Omicron. Look, we're not in Seth Rollins shape. We're nowhere near the shape of Seth Rollins. But this guy, 1 week ago, got COVID. 1 week later, not only was COVID free, but was able to compete at a high level tonight. Because we talked about it yesterday. I honestly thought that Seth was going to be laid out early in the match, and he would do a little bit, but not that much. You know, you bring him back in slowly, because one thing that you may not know, and, you know, we've talked about the OSHA guidelines that a lot of people still have yet to tell you, but something else that you may not know about WWE, and still, again, I'm not trying to cause any controversy, but in the back of my mind, I always keep thinking to myself, I wonder if WWE released Keith Lee because of concerns with his heart. And the reason why I say that, again, is because when a wrestler in WWE does get diagnosed with COVID, you not only have to show evidence of two negative PCR tests, you also have to get clearance for your heart. A lot of people don't know that. So not only did Seth Rollins have to just show up, I don't have my COVID tests here, but it's not that he just shows up like, look, everybody, I'm clear. No, he had to get cleared for his heart as well. And that guy performed tonight at a top level. I mean, he's jumping off the top rope. He's doing all his regular moves. I mean, Seth Rollins did a lot more tonight than I expected him to do. See, look, out of respect to Keith Lee, I will not say that's the reason why. It's just a thought always in the back of my mind. If WWE had concerns about his heart, you know, I mean, I hope that's not the case. But, you know, the fact that everybody's got to be tested for the heart, you know, that's not an absolute requirement in other sports, but it's recommended. So they are doing what they're supposed to, but it was good to see Seth Rollins back. And like I said, whether you like WWE or don't, whether you like, you know, something else, or you think WWE is careless, whatever. If one thing comes out great tonight, as far as Omicron, you see how quick Seth Rollins was able to return. I mean, literally, Roman Reigns, do not be surprised if Roman Reigns cuts a promo on SmackDown Friday. He might cut it from his house. He might cut it from a hotel room. Similar to what Seth Rollins did on Raw last week. But the point is that the fact that he was able to come back so fast that, you know, if you're fully vaccinated, you do have some protection. So it was really good to see Seth Rollins back tonight so quickly. Let's hope The same for Roman Reigns and for anybody else. You know, we brought it up yesterday that they never decided to go with Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. Personally, I thought that would have been good tonight. They gave extra time for Becky and Liv Morgan. They gave extra time to Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss. They could have easily gotten an additional match in it, because remember, we were supposed to have, think about this, before I close this off for tonight, think about this. We were supposed to not only have a fatal four-way, which probably would have went the same length of time as the main event we got tonight, and we were supposed to get Brock versus Roman Reigns. And Paul Heyman was supposed to get involved with that. So we didn't get a replacement match for Roman versus Brock. They just added Brock and a match was taken away. They gave extra time for these other matches. I'm wondering why they didn't go with Sammy versus Nakamura on the pay-per-view. I'm not insinuating that anybody tested positive, but you remember some of those names were pulled from the shows 2 weeks ago for precaution. But Rollins, I mean, honestly, other than Brock winning, Rollins to me was the star in that match today. And he almost felt like Rollins was like, I'm going to show everyone this fucking COVID is not affecting me at all. I mean, he went over and above. So now ask the question, where do we go from here with Brock and Roman? Who feuds with Roman next? Does Brock go up against Lashley? Do we get Brock versus Big E? I get this weird, I might think feel different by Monday, but I get this strange feeling that Brock Lesnar may not hold that title beyond a month. This might just be temporary. Give some fresh matches. And look, remember, Brock Lesnar with the comment tonight, getting a little comedic, talking like Paul Heyman, and he's a free agent. So now since he's the heavyweight champion on Raw, is he still a free agent? Could they still have Brock Lesnar go after Roman? Look, this is WWE. They could write this shit any way they want. So do not discount the possibility of Brock Lesnar still going after Roman. And I just thought about it. A lot of you in the past have said they should unify the heavyweight champion. Have one champion on both shows. Now, I don't know if that's a smart idea to do during COVID right now, but I'm wondering how many people start posting that idea on social media the next couple of days. Hey, WWE is considering having Brock versus Roman unify, or winner take all. Winner take all. Could that happen? Something to think about. Something to think about. Two belt Brock. Yeah, if Becky could have two belts. And Sasha could have two belts. Why can't Brock have two belts? Not a bad idea. Something to think about. Something to think about. But that was your pay-per-view tonight. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give the pay-per-view, I give it a 7. I give it a 7. You know, if I had to pay $44.95, I probably would have given it a 6. I give it a solid 7. You know, I mean, some of the matches felt like they belonged on Raw. You know, Liv and Becky, you know, definitely delivered. Some matches, you know, Drew versus Moss over-delivered, but I didn't expect much to come out of there anyway. Having Brock win was a surprise. So the fact that there was no Roman, I think, takes off a notch. Obviously, it wasn't, you know, was freak, you know, getting COVID. So I give it 7 out of 10. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night, and yes, I'll give you my favorite and least favorite. Tomorrow night, I will be here again, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, for the sit-down. That is all call-ins. So if you would like to join me tomorrow night, Sunday night at 8 o'clock, we will be taking calls. If you want to call in, talk about tonight's pay-per-view, talk about where you see things going from here. You want to talk about AEW, you want to talk about the Tony Khan Big Swall situation that we talked about yesterday. If you want to talk about New Year's, whatever is on your mind, you're more than welcome to join me tomorrow night. We'll be here tomorrow from 8 to about 9:30, I would say. 9:30 the most. Favorite match tonight, I go with the five-way. Although I wish it went at least another 5 minutes longer, 10 minutes would have been even better. But I guess they didn't want Brock. Let me put it this way. Big E getting pinned kind of justifies the match being shorter. Big E was not prepared for Brock. Big E was not prepared for the F5. Brock hitting the F5. It's devastating. He gets the pin. Nobody else outside the ring breaks up the count. He's the champion. Boom, 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 boom. So that's why they did it. Same reason why Becky Lynch beat Bianca Belair so quickly. That was extreme quickness. But obviously, Sasha versus Bianca was not supposed to close out the show. You know, Roman and Brock or Big E's match was. So, you know, this is obviously on a different scale. But the five-way is my favorite match. My least favorite match of the night. Moss versus McIntyre. Even though it was a better match than I expected, had no business being on a pay-per-view. Seriously. If none of them had COVID, I would have put Nakamura and Sami Zayn on that pay-per-view and leave Drew McIntyre and Moss on SmackDown. They could have done the whole injury angle on SmackDown. They could have had Drew McIntyre beat Moss on SmackDown, and then he's in the back being interviewed, and they lay him out, and they do a whole stretch of job, the ambulance, you cue the fans from the crowd, you know, and they're all looking really concerned and everything. It's SmackDown. It kills 5 extra minutes of time. He gets stretched out. Bah, done. VJ Mish is doing better. I sent him a couple of food gifts for the holidays, and I sent him pizza as well, and he made them tonight, New York pizza. So obviously I don't think he would have been eating pizza and showing everybody if he was still very much under the weather. So he is doing good. I expect him on with me Monday night after Raw, so that should be on, unless the pizza gives him a little agita. But I think he'll be okay. But that's pretty much it, everyone. Definitely in the comment section, let me know what you thought of tonight's day one pay-per-view. Look, for the first day of 2022, you know, not a bad pay-per-view. I mean, you know, it definitely advanced some storylines. Brock now being the Raw Heavyweight Champion, WWE Champion. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here. I just hope Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar is in the cards, because I know that's a match that a lot of people have wanted to see. Now we get the opportunity to see it. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Hope you can join me tomorrow night at 8 o'clock for the sit-down. If not, join me Monday night, 11:05 p.m. with Breakfast Soup Raw. So be well, everybody. Stay safe. Happy New Year once again. Thank you, as always, for your support. Can't wait to see what 2022 has in store. So good night, everybody. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody. while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.